Welcome to City Talks, a monthly podcast looking at the big issues facing UK cities and the latest thinking on urban policy. I'm your host, Andrew Carter, from the think tank Centre for Cities. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to this episode of City Minutes. I'm Andrew Carter, and today I'm joined by my colleague, Paul Swinney, who is the Centre's Director of Policy and Research, to talk about the 15-minute city. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, Andrew.
So let's start off with the basics. What is the 15-minute city? Where has the idea come from? And is any city trying to implement it?
So the idea of the 15-minute city is that people can access all the things that they need to access in their daily lives within a 15-minute walk or cycle ride. So what that means is that things become hyper-local. So your restaurant, your newsagent, your work, your gym, your all the things that you might access on a daily basis are within that very walkable or at least cyclable distance of 15 minutes. And that's the golden figure that they put on this. The idea has come from France. It was an academic at Sorbonne University, I think, who first coined the term. And it's something that has been popularized by Anne Hidalgo, who is the mayor of Paris, and she made a big, made this central to her election pitch when she got re-elected a couple of years ago. And so her idea is to try and make Paris a 15-minute city. And indeed, there are a number of things underway at the moment about trying to make that a reality.
Okay, so if that's the idea, what's your view in it? And in particular, you know, what does it get right about how cities function and what does it get wrong? So let's do the right first. I mean, what's the merits of the idea?
Well, I'm glad that we start on the merits, actually, because I think there are a lot of merits to it. I think the problem is that the idea gets extended so far that all of a sudden it's going to start to undermine the idea. So those benefits, I think, are around trying to encourage people to walk, encourage people to cycle, trying to get people out of their cars and trying to create an environment where people can access a lot of amenities that they need to access very easily, you know, without having to get in their car, without having to create an extra amount of air pollution in particular, which has a very big impact in terms of the attractiveness of cities, but also in terms of people's health within those cities, and indeed in terms of the number of people who die from air pollution as a result. So that's a very noble goal. I think that's a good thing too. You know, it is something we can achieve, you know, creating neighborhoods that are walkable so that you can walk to local restaurants and you can walk to the local shops as opposed to feeling like you need to get in the car. So being able to achieve that is great. And I think policymakers, you know, in any city across the world should be aiming to try and do that sort of thing.
And what does it get wrong? I mean, in a sense, you said that the concept expands ever more and ever more. So what does it get wrong? And particularly, what does it miss when we think about how cities work and why they look and function the way they do?
Well, the big challenge for this, I think, is that it ignores the economics of how cities work, and particularly about where businesses locate where they do or why they locate where they do. And it seems in particular that I think probably the idea has come or has been created, I think, in the absence of probably having conversations with economists or urban economists, at least, to understand this question. So I think the big barrier to the 15-minute city idea is the idea that we also have work within 15 minutes of walk or cycling. And the reason for that is because of where city centre businesses in particular, why they locate within those centres. And so here we're talking about high-skilled, service-based type jobs. Now, in the world of COVID, people have claimed that actually, you know, we can do our jobs anywhere now. This is fine. You know, you don't even need an office at the end of your street because your office is in your back bedroom. I think the reality is that a lot of these high-skilled service-based businesses locate within city centres because of the benefits that they bring, the city centres, that is, in terms of access to lots of workers, but also the ability to bring people together, to have face-to-face interactions, to have, you know, spontaneous interactions with one another where you then pick up new information, you develop new ideas, and then you sort of push a company on or an organisation on as a result of that. And that's why we have this clustering of so many businesses within our most successful city centres in particular. And if we were then to sort of disperse that across a city or across many cities, you then start to lose the benefits that you get of that face-to-face interaction, of that density. And that's why we think that it's, you know, for many types of service-based jobs, it's pretty difficult in order to bring, you know, disperse those jobs out across the city. If we're then thinking about, say, manufacturing jobs, for example, instead of those service-based ones, then, you know, manufacturers require lots of people to be in a very, very large space in order to produce the thing that they're producing. So again, the idea that you could then have your manufacturing job within 5 minutes or 10 minutes of where you live feels like it's pretty unlikely too. But it has an impact too in terms of employees as well. I mean, it's pretty unlikely, or the benefit of a really big city, in particular for an employee, is that there's loads of different jobs available of many different types, of many different levels, and it allows you to either transfer easily from one industry or more easily from one industry to another, or indeed move up the career ladder as well. Now, if you're then limiting all of your job opportunities to within a 15-minute walk or cycle ride, all of a sudden you're vastly shrinking the opportunities that you've got available to you. So actually, from an individual's point of view as well, the idea of being able to live sort of within 15 minutes of your job isn't necessarily the best outcome for them either. So it's thinking about all these different things that all of a sudden, from a work perspective in particular, we've just got to be careful about the 15-minute city idea, and we don't end up extending an idea and stretching an idea so far that all of a sudden we dilute the elements of the idea, which are actually really good ones.
So you said in a sense the attractiveness of the idea has been growing over the last 12 months, particularly, I suppose, in light of COVID and the shift towards remote working. But if it's not the 15-minute city, at least from a work point of view, because there are merits in the way that we live our life outside of work, what is it that policymakers should be focusing on?
So the big one is planning. How easy it is to get around in terms of walking or cycling all comes down to how dense is an area. You know, is it that actually it's quite low density and it's dominated by roads, so therefore it's more difficult to serve by public transport, and actually it's much easier to use your car as well. That's a big element of density. And if you make things more dense, then actually being able to walk to the nearest shop actually is not only an easy thing to do, but that business can be sustained as well, because you've got lots of people in a very small area, which means that business has a market to sell to. And therefore, you know, the private entrepreneur says, do you know what? I am going to open up a restaurant here next to all these people live here. Or I am going to open up a newsagent or a gym or a patisserie or whatever it is that people are looking for. Now, interestingly, you know, you see this playing out already within certain cities. So if you were to go to parts of Manchester or parts of London or indeed parts of Paris, you would see that where you've got very, very dense neighbourhoods, you have a whole array of services and amenities on the doorstep, not only in terms of different types of amenity in terms of a newsagent or a restaurant or whatever it is, but actually different types of restaurant too, because you've got a bigger population within a small area that can sustain those types of amenities. And so it is about that, about planning as the first step, and about densification, building more homes within a certain area. And then it allows you to do things like transport policy, et cetera, on top of that, which works with the grain of having that denser environment. So that has to be the root of what we need to do if it is the case that we do want to people to have these amenities on their doorstep.
So there you have it, 10 minutes on the 15-minute city. Thank you very much indeed, Paul. This is an idea I'm sure that will continue to be discussed as part of the What Does the Pandemic Mean for the Future of Cities? You can find all our work on this issue and more on our website, centreforcities.org. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of City Talks, brought to you by Centre for Cities. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher by searching Centre for Cities. Please rate, review and subscribe if you liked what you heard. You can also follow the Centre on Twitter at Centre for Cities, or like us on LinkedIn for the latest updates on what the centre is up to. If you have any comments on the episode or suggestions for topics we should cover in the future, we'd love to hear from you. Do tweet us or send an email to info@centreforcities.org. The music was from Palace Fires by Johnny Foreigner, used with permission, and all rights are reserved.